10 seconds to go here. Donegal have the ball. We're on the verge of winning another Anglo-Celt Cup. A sprint.
5 seconds.
4 seconds left.
We have it.
Donegal.
We have it.
We have the hitter. Put the ball out of play.
Yeah. It's all over. Donegal are the champions. What a day.
Back Ulster champions and 12th Ulster title. What a game of football. What a game of football. Donegal are champions of Ulster once again.
I haven't heard scenes like that since I was watching RTE when Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael won the last election. Remarkable stuff, Brendan Devaney. I said yesterday, I've had my days confused much of the weekend. Remarkable scenes from Saturday. Unbelievable stuff. We hoped, but you never know, do you?
Yeah, listen, we couldn't separate the teams. And, you know, pre-match we were talking about the very high possibility of a draw and just the small moments. But listen, the magic is with Donegal. The McGuinness story, I was just counting back, Jim, 6 years now in the most ultra-competitive provincial championship. You know, 21 games because we were in four of the preliminaries. And we've lost one match in 21 and now have five titles. The Michael Murphy story coming back. And,
well, just in relation to that, because it's a team game, it's a squad game, and I'm sure the team themselves would accept that it's an entire game. But you can't not focus a little bit on what Michael Murphy's achieved. This is a guy retired. And next thing you know, he's man of the match and he's sitting there with the cup again in the dressing room or thrown it above his head in the stands. Like, it's a remarkable story. The whole thing, it's almost a film. Like,
it is. It's like a script that's been written by the two guys. You know, Finn Barody's story, I think, is brilliant in there too, first year. And what a season he's had. I mean, it was phenomenal. Brilliant for him to get his first Ulster. But yeah, the two lads, I mean, they just epitomise everything about Donegal. And in that period of Jim and Michael, just everything almost is hand in hand. Like, when Michael came back, everybody was thinking about impact, potentially. You know, when he came on in those two games, he just completely changed.
He was saying he'd be the goalie.
Well, it was a lot of nonsense.
No, but you know, but that's what people were. Yeah, you know, yeah. That's what people thought his role could be, some special role or an impact sub or a game changer. Not Greg, like you know,
particularly because of what he did when he came on. And now he obviously was injured, but when he came on against Armagh there, I thought, well, if we have this to come on, and we were also champions in Ireland semi finals, Lars was thinking he'd be kept, and then when he started the championship matches in. I was wondering, is that just a ploy to get him up and then he will still be this serious impact guy? Because particularly I thought the game would go to extra time, potentially, and where would we get the best of him? But I think what actually happened was in these games that he started in Ulster, his match fitness has been rising because he did look tired, naturally enough, at the end of some of the matches. And what I was thinking was when it's most critical, probably our best player, it could be slightly tired, but the way he managed the game was unbelievable. Listen, he was man of the match. So I think this was getting him ready for this big game. And as you say, what a story, what a day for Donegal.
And what a game, because it ebbed and it flowed. And Donegal at 7-point advantages, then Armagh themselves. And it takes two teams to make a final like that there. And Armagh were amazing at times. And they were able to adapt and we were adapting. And, you know, it took some testicular fortitude to knock over a point with the Claxton about to go to force the extra time. Like, there was so both teams had some amazing spells. It was just a brilliant spectacle.
Yeah, and do you know what's amazing about it? The things that you're not expecting, probably, you know, Oisin Gallen come on, not having the form, of course, that he had last year. He had 6 points last year in one of the best halves I've ever seen. He had four unbelievable scores then, and they're like, wow, he's back. And his play was brilliant, and for Connolly at the other side was awesome for them. And they were ding-dong in the first half. But when you take it right down in, Niall O'Donnell, you know, he was their sixth or seventh sub. I think he might have been seventh, you know, when we went into out of time. So that's where he was in terms of the mindset. But yet he was the match winner. You know, knowing Niall so well, he's so much talent. He had injuries, and he started some league games, come on and off. But he didn't seem to be able to catch form. Mm. It was a very brave shot on the left foot. He dragged it wide, but he kept his composure. He hit that point, and then he hit the winner as well. So, brilliant story for him as well. But last year's game, I suppose, Armagh were ahead of us twice and had the game in control this time. It was us was doing it. And it was notable probably after the goals, the way two-pointers kind of cancel out goals. Because I've always thought, listen, the goal's still a big score and it's 3 points. But when you get a two-pointer, like,
it's astonishing how quickly it can change.
When Murr's goal, for example, went in, we were a point down, so we went two up. And then Rafferty, remember, got that So like it cancelled out nearly the goal. So I'm not too sure if the 3 points is enough for a goal anymore, but listen, it was
no,
enough
no,
for us.
Well, come here. Listen, we had two brilliant finals at the weekend. Let's stop tinkering. You know,
we had.
We got aye, 4 points for a goal. Now I know what aye, I do know what you're saying though.
Yeah.
But the only problem is if people then, you know, you become too goal hungry,
yeah,
then that can sort of.
But goals are so exciting. Like you want yeah. to.
There was
you
a brilliant
listen,
goal in that game yesterday.
You're still listen when you get. I know them, what you're going to go for them. It's not that you're not going to go for them. It's just how they can be cancelled out. If you look at the indiscretion that we were caught for not having the three up. You know, Armagh get a 2-pointer off that. It doesn't seem fair when you look how well we worked, you know, particularly Kieran Moore's goal, you know, and listen, there's so many brilliant performances in there and lads coming back in and out, you know. I think most of us in the stand were out of puff just watching it. I mean, what the lads put in
there,
cramping up.
It's astonishing what they can do. And what you have to put in the modern game to perform for the full match. From what I've seen, and again, you know what I know, you've forgotten what I've know, but it looked to me like the best two. We watched the game between the best two teams in the country on Saturday.
Potentially, yeah. I wouldn't say now. There's kind of four or five in there. You'd have to say Galway and Kerry, just outside that bracket. Then you have a few other teams like some Mayo, Dublin, Monaghan could beat each other on any given day. But you think Armagh, Donegal, I'd say Kerry and Galway are the four now that are a wee bit a step ahead. You would think. So, you know, just listen, it's a small margins. I mean, there's plenty of ways you could say Armagh could have won that match, but there's just something about Jim and this, the belief he puts into this team. And Keelan McGonagall being back was massive as well, you know, and at six. So we're pretty much be Jason McGee back now coming on, sub scored as well. Brilliant. So it's only Owen Bann now is out. So having your full panel to pull on, because Armagh certainly were very stronger from last year. And I thought when I went down the tracks, you had a load of players. Like they had seven different players from the team that started last year, but them seven are still in the squad.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd think that in the added time that they would have had the advantage, but it wasn't. And then you had that bit of epic keep ball at the end. You know, there was so much drama in the
but
game.
But there's so much, the little idiosyncrasies that have to be worked on that aren't necessarily going to be obvious on match day, even when... You know, not feeling disheartened when what used to be a big lead is chopped away. Being able to come back in waves, you know, to sort of counteract the adrenaline rush maybe from the opposition. And you know, the kickouts went a bit awry.
Yes.
So there had to be a bit of a reset there to sort of counter that. And that's what we seem to be able to do now. We can, you know, we can adapt on the fly.
Yeah, and suppose in fairness to Armagh, listen, we had them well boxed in first half. Rafferty was struggling with a kick out. We were putting the squeeze on, but they kind of did the opposite. They lost in the second half, so they sorted out their own kick out. They were better on their own, and they really squeezed up and put pressure on ours. So the games can flip in that. So in fairness, Armagh were in there learning as well. Listen, you can see straight away there from McGeaney, you know, we can see the attitude is here. Forget about it, it's all Ireland series now, because they are all Ireland champions. So they're straight away. If they hadn't won all Ireland last year and had lost that game, they would have been like, what are we going to do here, you know? So in fairness to Armagh, they'll bounce back and they'll fancy themselves in big games in Croke Park. The group series is coming up now
So after euphoria of something like that, how difficult is it not to continue or to reset or to maintain as a former player? I'm asking you this, Brendan. You know, to come down from that, but to sort of go and say, right, we've got Tyrone. You know, Mayo's coming up. You know, we've got two potentially very tough games, three challenging games. You know, is that where the manager comes back into it again and the dressing room leaders?
Yeah, listen, I suppose your sights now, listen, Donegal have won two All-Irelands. Can this team win in All-Ireland? They can. So I suppose your whole focus now is on that. But certainly it does, you know, quite a few tough games in the league. We're probably able to rest a small bit going into the last two. Jim was able to rest players because... Particularly going into the prelim, Ulster, you know, and having to play Derry, who are a top 10 team, you know, having to play Monaghan then down as well, you know, all them games taken out of you in Armagh. Like, if you look at some of the other teams around there, you know, we've seen Kerry obviously playing Clare in the final. You know, there's no way that that's taken the exertions that yesterday was. So, yeah, there is a certain block in there. It's a tough road for Donegal, but they've come through it and they'll not be making any excuses about that. But yeah, it is a tough season. You've seen people cramping up and all that, and thankfully there's a 2 week break now, so I don't know whether they made a few cramps on the Abbey dance floor on Sunday night.
Oh, I didn't tell me they made it in there, did they?
Huh?
They were late enough back.
They were
indeed. What did you make of the fracas towards the end? It's kind of unfortunate. You know, I mean, yes, there's Golding present. There was a bit of Golding, I think, towards the end of normal time towards the Donegal goalkeeper. I mean, tensions were high. You know, everything was put into this game. I've been criticised for saying it. There's nothing wrong with a little bit of Golding. I don't know what your view is. I don't want to focus too much on this.
Yeah.
I've got two questions. That's my first question. What's your reaction to what we've seen afterwards?
Yeah, listen, we were close to that. I seen Owen come over and he was kind of shouting to the crowd first as I lane. But I don't know then, the Armagh bench was very close to him. So I don't know, did they react or did he go to them then? But he certainly went to the crowd first.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, I don't see what the need would have been for it. And listen, the reaction, Armagh, don't mess about.
But would it not be better? I mean, do you want to see any sanctions now? If no one's injured, everyone needs to learn from it. I don't really fancy seeing Armagh going into their next round of games weakened by punishment for that. Or maybe the GEA has to take a line. What's your view on it?
Listen, Greg, if there's punches thrown, there has to be...
There has to be consequences.
Yeah, listen, we can't stand back. It's not right if it's pushing and shoving, but there definitely was punches thrown there.
Yeah.
So depending on what scene of it had, was it the sub-keeper, Blaine Hughes? I don't know who else went in there. Listen, it was a bit ugly because particularly when that camera we see me Jim, he was hugging a couple of eagers, he turned around and he was like, what? He was almost like a daddy, you know, breaking up a fight.
Getting into his face was a bit strange.
So yeah, and particularly with young people running on the pitch and that, there will be repercussions, there's no doubt in that.
Yeah, all right. The game yesterday too was another cracking provincial final. Louth finally have done the business. They closed a big stretch I thought that was another good game. I can't help but attribute it to the rules that, you know, you can't rest in your laurels. Games change really, really quick.
Yeah.
And it's fast paced. And, you know, what do you think?
Listen, it was magic. I mean, there was a time there a few years back where you just couldn't see Leinster. Dublin was so good. Compared to everybody in Ireland, and Leinster teams were going back the way they weren't going, even starting to build a challenge. Me think Kildare were all over the place, and they were the two reasonable turns. And then Louth started to build, like Louth fella there, Bevan Duffy, was playing yesterday. He played in Division 4 for Louth.
Do you think Mickey Moran can take any credit for that, going in there and sort of bringing back a bit of hope, getting club players want to play for the county?
I don't know. Mickey Hartley. Maybe Mickey Moran was in too. It could have been. You wouldn't know. Listen, you have to give him credit, surely. I think he changed the mindset of Louth big time, you know. He really brought them on, but he really left them in. You know, they weren't expecting him to leave when he took the Derry job. So I think that kind of knocked the players back a bit. But Jared Brennan's come on. He's been top class here. So, listen, I have a lot of good friends in Louth. There's always 3 years in a row for them. They were aiming up to beat Dublin, but Meath took them out. That game could have went either way. But again, but like you've mentioned there, Greg, even though Louth were up against it at times, Meath were playing much better football. They just seemed, I think they were comfortable. A couple of brilliant goals. Lennon's goal was
unbelievable. Like, it's funny you don't see that too often. I think Louth owe Meath a bit of a gratitude, even though they beat them in the final, that they took out.
The 2010, I think.
The Donegal ladies were in action before the men. Disappointing. They'll be disappointed. There's lots of lessons to learn from that, particularly early on. You know, the game got away from them, I think.
We were all fair idea, Greg. Listen, this is a learning process for them, for James Daly's side, and he knows that. I mean, Donegal are going to now be Galway and Tip and All-Ireland series. They're building a team. This Armagh team is usually All-Ireland.
Yeah.
You know, so it was always going to be one of those matches where stay in it and get learnings, get experience from it, and Donegal will come back better.
What's on the show tonight? I presume you'll talk about the weekend's game.
We might talk about the wee match.
There's Oisín Kelly. How are you, Oisín? Do you want to talk to us? Are you going to come in and say hello? No, you're not. He's too busy.
I have a record to do, actually.
Okay,
but as long as your show's all right, don't worry about mine.
No, you're grand. You could just go 40 minutes.
I have Stevie McDonald and Kevin Cass, actually.
I'm trying to get people to listen to your bloody show.
I'm only taking out. Hey, Steve McDonald and Kevin Cass is on. Maureen O'Donnell's on as well. We'll have the brilliant commentary of Oisín from yesterday as well, them closing stages. I might give that
Steve
a blast.
Steve McDonald, Kevin Cassidy's going to be on there. It's tonight from 7 p.m. It's live just after 7, but if you're out for a walk or a jog or whatever you want to do, you can listen to to it as a podcast very soon afterwards. Brendan, I'll let you crack on and start putting it together. Take care of yourself. Right, of course, the provincial champions should be the only ones allowed time contest for Sam Backdoor. Sam winners are second fiddlers. Okay. So what if Sean Patton was goaded too, Greg? It doesn't excuse what the Donegal player did. Two wrongs don't make a right. This behaviour needs to be called out on both sides. Okay, I get you. I get you, right. I understand. And maybe I'm too, I'm being a bit too forgiving in relation to this. It just was, you know, it was a big occasion. There's lots of pressure there. The amount of time these people put into these things, maybe you can make a bad decision in terms of golden and maybe you can make a bad decision in terms of reacting to it. But that being said, and as Brendan said, and listen, who, what do I know? If you strike someone, I suppose there has to be consequences for that. And a caller says, yeah, according to news this morning, there's going to be further investigations into what happened after the game with maybe a few suspensions going to happen. Greg, how do you know there wasn't Donegal supporters behind the Armagh bench as he was cheering to them? Well, you heard Brendan Devaney reflect that. There was Donegal supporters everywhere. Another, how often have we now seen Armagh players involved in match brawls? Remember the eye gouging incident, the alleged eye gouging incident, Armagh versus Galway, not that long ago. Take your point. Thanks for that. Great that Jim and his team players won again. It's a pity of small ugly scenes at the end and also the serious brawl at the in Monaghan. This needs to be addressed and the people involved should not get a ticket for a game for a long time as people in the shop were frightened. Hopefully they're identified and dealt with. I saw the social media videos of that circulating. Really horrible to see. And you know what? And I know I'm backtracking on myself. Maybe if these young guys and girls, primarily young guys, maybe they see that type of activity on a pitch from their heroes, they think, right, it's okay for us to do it in a service station. So I suppose we have to be conscious of that too. Right, okay. What about a BAFTA television award for 2025? Dennis Minahan, series producer of Alley Cats TV in Derry. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much, Greg.
How does that feel?
Well, at the minute, I'm kind of recovering in a hotel room, but good. It feels really good. Really good. It's a very surreal moment last night, I must say.
Yeah, because, you know, there's lots of awards knocking about, and they're all nice to receive, but there's something particularly important about the BAFTA Television Award, I think, anyway. But you're the man received it, or your company received it.
Well, that's true, I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, I know. It's pretty mad, Greg. Like, I mean, I'll always have this, and... Yeah, it's a big moment. It's a big moment for the company, and it's just great that a dairy company has done this. So, yeah.
Talk to us about Clive Myrie's Caribbean adventure.
Sure, yeah. So, it was, he went to Barbados and Jamaica and Cuba and Dominican Republic. So, he has like roots in Jamaica, so he kind of met up with his sister. He was going back to his roots, met up with his sister, and we had his dad and his mom on the phone throughout. And so it was kind of a personal journey for him. And you know, we touched on, you know, it is a daytime program, and you know, it's lovely light entertainment. But at the same time, we touched on things like Windrush and you know, and big topics like that. Mm. So it meant a lot. It meant a lot to Clive, and oh my God, he was so happy last night. It was great to be around him. He's such a lovely guy.
Do you think that, given the fact that you were making it for daytime TV, that you were sort of maybe able to approach these some heavy subjects in a different way, if that makes sense? You know, if you were putting this
out for nine or half nine.
You might find yourself leaning towards, I don't know, stuff that's you know, just in other words, the story gets told in a different way. Was that part of it, do you think?
That's absolutely right. Yeah. Because we could touch on those things, but just in a kind of lighter way where it's not so, you know, heavy on the nose. Like, I mean, we went into like slavery and things like that. And it's just, I think, I don't know. I have to praise Clive because he's just so, the way he presents things, and he's just, you know, he's just got such a light touch. Mm. You know, you're absolutely right. We can touch on heavier subjects. But also just, people watch that show. We did a series before on Italy, and the visuals are so amazing. People just want to be there. Mm-hmm. You know, you're watching and you go, God, I wish it was there. And so we've done Italy. We've done Caribbean, which won, which is unbelievable to say. And now we are currently doing one in Africa as well.
Fantastic.
So Clive is heading off to South Africa now at the end of the week. So,
and as well as obviously sort of the recognition for what's gone before, Dennis, what this does now though is bring a whole new audience to the work as well. There'll be, you know, there'll be searches all over the place on the players and what have you, looking to catch up on this. So it's great too. It's sort of like it's a second wave of an audience as well, isn't it?
I hope so, yeah. I mean, obviously it's all there in the iPlayer, like if anybody wants to tune in. Yeah, that's right, yeah. I suppose when the award like that, I hadn't thought about that, Greg. But yeah, it brings another bunch of eyes onto it, yeah. And God, I just hope they enjoy it, because we had a lot of fun making it.
You do the recovering, I'll do the thinking, Dennis. We're a match made in heaven, right? Listen, I won't take up much more of your time. But any people or things that you know with the Derry connection that you want to mention, Dennis, or that I've overlooked?
Oh well, just a big shout out to all our Derry crew, like. To Judy and Niamh and our great editors, Ruben and Kieran and Gemma. It's not easy making these programs, but, you know, it's all, I'm just looking at the BAFTA here and it's all paying off now. I'm just wondering, you know, do I have to increase the weight of my luggage to take home now because it's heavy?
I thought you were going to say, I'm just wondering now if I have to increase the wages. Jeez, would you stop? Dennis, come here. Congratulations.
We'll see about that tomorrow.
Enjoy it. It must be lovely, and it's great to chat to you whilst you're looking at it. Well done, Dennis and crew. Dennis Meenahan there, series producer at Alley Cats TV Derry. That show, by the way, is called Clive Myrie's Caribbean Adventures. These shows only get made with support from groups like the Northern Ireland Screen, and produced to, as I mentioned there, by Derry-based Alley Cats TV, and the one for the daytime category. What the point I was trying to make is some serious matters. There's light and shade in life. And you know, in a story like Clive's, there's an awful lot of shade. But sometimes I think the message drops better if it's not quite as dark as it is, if that makes sense. I think it's more consumable, and I think that's really helped with that show, in that you get points across and you get people to understand people's life and people's experience, but you're not beaten over the head with it, if that makes sense. As I say, I'm struggling towards, I know what I want to say, but I think it's worked really well for them. Right, I believe I can connect now to Brendan O'Connor, former president of the GRA. Can you hear me okay, Brendan?
I can, Greg, yes.
Thanks very much for your time. And I was introducing you a little earlier on in the show, and I was stating that, you know, this is obviously a very personal loss of Kevin for his family and friends, but it's felt right across the force. I've no doubt about that.
Yeah, yes, Greg, as you know, the Guards is very much a bit of a tight-knit family, and there's a very close bond there. And because of what we do, and I suppose yesterday afternoon when the waves of information started spreading, as it does so fast nowadays, and people are just thinking, oh no, it's happened again, you know. And unfortunately, Kevin is now the 90th member of the force who went to work and didn't come home. And it's a terrible tragedy for his family and all that belonging to him. But it's definitely felt across the organisation, and it's felt by very, very, very much so by colleagues. But great support from the community and great outpourings of grief there, and great expressions of solidarity from everybody too. So at times of this, it is of good support to the Gardaí and to families, and to know that, you know, most people do hold us in high regard and do have an appreciation of the sacrifices that unfortunately some members end up making. And, you know, there's not a family in Donegal that hasn't been touched by a tragedy in the road, probably. And, you know, it just shows Guards, while we're out there dealing with that on a professional basis, on a daily basis, we can succumb to become victims ourselves, and we're very much affected by it, just like everyone else.
Yeah, and it, you know, can be easy to forget if you're not in the force, that really, you know, given the nature of the job, you never know what's going to happen, whether it's a call to a, you know, a domestic situation or public order offence out in the streets, or if you're working in road traffic, there's an inherent danger every time, you know, you put on the uniform and head out on shift.
Yes, there is an element of danger, and as I say, and you know, sometimes just people don't come home from work. And I suppose the thing is that probably when people have loved ones in the Guards or in other police services, you do think it, I mean, unfortunately coming to cause violence and that, but the real danger is there, that really every time you step out on the road, you know, you're taking your life in your hands, because we know that, just, you know, what can happen on roads and what can go wrong. And, you know, we two young guards that were killed in Donegal in recent years, you know, they died in the results of incidents involving motor vehicles. So that is a real danger for Gardaí and across the world for police services. But it's just something that we have to be very cognizant of and mindful of and try and negate those risks. And, you know, it hammers home the message again. We're always saying to people, be safe out there. And, you know, unfortunately, here we have one of our own has been involved in this incident, and we've lost someone in a road traffic incident. So just it's just a very sombering, sober moment for everybody to just take a step back and think about what we do and what can happen and what families have to go through.
And I believe another officer on traffic duty received a broken leg and ended up in hospital, and a third also injured as well. So, you know, that's a reminder, not only the terrible loss of life, but the risk of injury as well. Garda Commissioner Drew Harris has said there'll be a review of road safety following the death of Garda Flatley. I suppose any review of safety is always to be welcomed. Is this something that you'd be calling for, Brendan?
Well, I think, look, today isn't the day for calling for anyone making grand statements. But look, at the end of the day, we've lost a colleague, we've lost a father, and so any examination of the facts to see, can any lesson be learned going forward, and can anything be done better in the future, you know? But I say we'll have to just give the investigation time to run its course and see what actually happened. But certainly any review and any contemplation and any examination that, you know, I suppose it's something that kind of sticks an eyes guard sometimes, that, you know, if this was happening on a building site, maybe there'd be a much more scrutiny placed on the employer and the systems in place. But again, that's a conversation for another day. But thank certainly you.
Okay. Listen, Brendan, thanks very much for your time. Unfortunately, we're speaking in these in this context, but I do appreciate your time. That's Garda Brendan O'Connor there, former president of the GRA. And just once again, to extend our condolences to the family of Garda Flatley, his wife, his two young children, and the force in general. A caller says, Armagh players goading is not new. Just ask any player who played against them. Are you a player that played against them? Tell me more. Hi, Greg. Ask Brendan, is this a new format this year in GEA? Donegal now in a group of four, so do Donegal need to win the group to qualify? Thanks, Greg. No, and they're changing the rules for 2026. We're still using last year's rules, I believe. So 16 teams are into the next stage of the All-Ireland Championship round robin. Obviously, the four provincial champions, that's us, we're in. The four beaten provincial finalists, so that's Armagh, they're in, for an example. Down are in there because they won the Tailteann Cup, I believe. And then there's seven additional teams based on their football National Football League ranking. They're in there as well. And the top three in each group advance to the knockout stages. The first place team to the All-Ireland quarterfinals. The second and third place teams to preliminary quarterfinals. So if Donegal top that group, they're into the quarters, then the semis, and then hopefully the final. But it's change. I think they're getting rid of the groups next year. Is part of the plan to just sort of go into sort of quarterfinal like stages after after the provincial stuff is all done and dusted. I think the rules seem pretty clear at this point. Everyone seems to like them, I think. Now the format is just the last thing they're tinkering with, and we'll have a new format again next year. Right. It is the 9 till noon show. 0860 25000 is the WhatsApp and text number. 0860 25000. Or you can email comments@highlandradio.com. comments@highlandradio.com. Now, I just want to mention that on Thursday, the 28th of August, Riverdance 30, The New Generation, coming to Gaiety Theatre in Dublin for a limited anniversary tour. We are taking a trip there, including overnight accommodation, bed and breakfast at the four-star Grand Canal Hotel in the heart of Dublin, luxury coach travel, tickets to the show, and free time for you in Dublin as well. There is limited availability, so don't miss out. Book your place now by phoning 07491 25000, or as you're more familiar with, 07491 25000, or on highlandradio.com. We'll give you more information. I don't have the price here on this form. I'll try and get that for you and bring that to you a little later on. As you can imagine, it's very, very competitive. Right, now, On this morning's Monday Focus, we talked to Richie Carruthers, who is head of the Local Government and Local Services Division and head of the Municipal Division with the Forsa Union. The Forsa Union are hosting two divisional conferences in the Mount Errigal Hotel, Letterkenny, this week, Wednesday the 14th of May to Friday the 16th of May. Richie, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. Long time no speak.
Indeed. It's good to have you back on the show. Thanks for joining us. Right, so talk to me a little bit more about Forsa and who they represent there, because a lot of that, you know, a lot of people might not know what local services division and local government and municipal this, that and that means. So who are your members?
So Greg, if I could maybe just add our sincere condolences to the families of the young men who sadly passed away in Bunkrana over the weekend. I mean, as parents, it's just horrific. But also, we support local government workers and health workers right across Donegal, as you know. And some of our own people were at the coalface of that the horrific incident. So our love, support and solidarity to those people. Mm. So thanks for just the opportunity just to say that to those families from our Forsa family.
Mm. And it's a big family of 30,000, isn't it?
Well, actually, Forsa is nearly 90,000 members across the country. We work across the whole of the public sector, every arm of the public sector, as well as components of the private sector and the community and voluntary sector. So Forsa is the largest public sector union in Ireland, north and south, and we're the second largest union in the state. And if you think of any interface with a public service, and the main Forsa members would be involved in that, right from Garda Síochána, the civil service, the health sector, the local government sector, to SNAs and education, right across the whole gambit.
So what's coming up this week in Letterkenny?
So every 2 years we have divisional conferences, which allows our activists and members to talk about issues that are pertinent to them in the sector on which they're working. So we have our health conference and our local government conference coming to Letterkenny, where workers and union reps will debate the big issues of the day, from hospital waiting lists, for instance, to the crisis and accident in an emergency, to problems with Mica is also on the defective blocks is on the agenda in the local government conference, libraries in the far right. It's really important for us to take the conferences out of the kind of the usual places that get them without having to do much work for them, those big urban centres. And it's really important that we bring the conferences to places that don't normally see trade union activity in terms of a union conference. And Letterkenny, this has been 2 years in the making, where we have upwards of 500 delegates, guests and visitors for 3 days across Letterkenny. So restaurants, bars, hotels will be full of delegates in the evening time. And that's a big investment into Letterkenny and beyond, very much supported by Donegal County Council. And I have to give a big shout out, if you don't mind, to our friends in the Mount Errigal Hotel in terms of the Mechanifs, because they've worked tremendously with ourselves to bring such a massive conference. And for the first time ever, we'll be running both of those conferences from the same location in the Mount Errigal Hotel. So it's a massive Herculean effort, and people will be travelling from the four corners of the country in order to be with us.
So what is the process then, Richie? Because, you know, you've already identified some, you know, many of the problems, and there are many more, and we kind of know about them. So rather than it feeling like a talking shop, which I'm sure it's not, what is the mechanism where this feeds into, I don't know, you know, Forsa making formal representations, even if action is required? Is this like the beginning of a process like that, for an example, or is this much further down that path?
So, I mean, really it's about taking stock. It allows us to make decisions about how far we've come or not come the last 2 years. It also allows us to elect our national executives to those national committees and set the policy position for the next coming days. One of the big things for us in local government is the housing crisis, for instance. And Dr. Lorcan Sir will be from TUD, will be addressing the conference on his thoughts. He's the leading foremost academic in the housing sphere, so that's really important. The conference will be opened as part of the opening ceremony by the Chief Executive of Donegal County Council and the Cathaoirleach, Niamh Kennedy. We'll also hear from the Derry and Strabane Mayor, Lillian Senior Barr. So the conference is taking a broader lens of what's going on in the country and the issues affecting workers in their workplaces, and really setting the path in terms of improving life for workers as employees and trade union members, but also taking into account the broader societal questions. Because one of the things I've always said to you, Greg, in the many interviews we've had, is that public sector workers are workers who live, work and play within those communities. They're from the community, of the community and for the community. And I think that that allows us just to debate those big issues of the day. So it's more than the talking shop, obviously. That's not what you were saying.
Yeah,
it just allows us to analyse where we've come
exactly.
from and where we're going.
Exactly. And I was asking why people walk out not feeling it was like that. Of course it won't be like that. But, I mean, obviously when one of the panel discussions is library and the far right, and of course the Mayor of Derry City and Strabane, we'll be talking on social integration. All very important issues, don't get me wrong. But these are sort of broader societal issues as well. We are at a fork in the road, you could argue. I suppose it's relevant for the reasons that you've outlined, because you are representing, you know, a big chunk of the population, not just the workers in the various fields that you represent. Because I'm sure if there's a change in attitudes, it seems, in this country, but many of your members working in the health service perhaps are feeling the consequences of this on the wards or in the ED, for an example, if there is sort of heightened tensions, for an example.
Yeah, no, I think it's more to do with the fact that, the housing crisis, for instance, I think I've actually spoken to you about the housing crisis in the past. You know, we have a prevailing housing crisis which is multi-generational for decades in this country. I'm personally of the view, for what it's worth, is that the migration issue hasn't made the housing crisis worse. I think we have systemic failures of lack of government in investment. But we'll talk about the big ticket items affecting all of us as citizens, as well as bread and butter terms and conditions type issues. And what we try to take is a kind of global national view of the state of the country and where we're heading. Yeah. One of the things we also will probably discuss is the presidential election as well, because local authorities, as you know, have got a particular role in terms of the selection of presidential candidates. So
I'm trying to pussyfoot around it, but I'll put my question directly. Like, you know, the day-to-day stuff that affects most of us is, you know, our terms and conditions, our working environment, and housing is an important issue. When you have such a significant event from force up here, are the delegates there for conversations about the far right and libraries and more wider societal issues? Or will they leave thinking, you know, and I don't mean this badly, but they think, we're more interested in really, you know, the state of our pensions or our pay or our working conditions?
Well, you see, the conference agenda is designed by delegates themselves.
They set
the conference agenda. So libraries in the far right, for instance, our members have been on the receiving end of severe far right activity in libraries across the country. So we will talk about pay and pensions. But remember, just the whole point of a trade union, it's run by members for members in the interests of members, supported by us as the paid professional staff of the union. So all of those things affect everybody.
Yeah.
And of course, I think one of the things it's to say, in Donegal, for instance, in the main, people live and work in those communities. So we're not removed from those challenges. And in fact, you have covered some of the largest health demonstrations in Letterkenny that I've helped organise, as you remember.
Yes, of course.
And that's over a decade ago. We're dealing with multi-generational challenges on public services.
All right. Brilliant stuff. So that is in Letterkenny. It's a big it's big for the local economy as well. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of local people. There's a lot of money to be spent as well. So that's an additional benefit. Richie, lovely to see you. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Greg.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Richie Carruthers there, head of the Local Government and Local Services Division and head of the Municipal Division with the Forsa Union. 08660 25000. A caller says, we've recycling bins in Carrigart across from the chapel. There was nothing recyclable there. It was just rubbish lying about everywhere. People have no pride in our wee town.
Have people no pride in our wee town? Have people no respect for our wee town? We can't really attribute where the rubbish is being dumped. So I presume these are the standard sort of recycling facilities. Has stuff been left outside? Send us a pic if you have it. 086 60 25,000. We do see that a lot. Sometimes I come in here in the morning and we have a series of those recycling bins at the opening of the mountaintop, and it's just everything's dumped there as well. So it's not unique to one particular area, I would doubt. Okay, let us take a quick break. Back with more shortly. The weather, clear, the cloud and rain clearing to spells of sunshine during this afternoon. Temperatures of 15 to 19 degrees. Dry and clear tonight. Temperatures won't get any lower than 9 degrees. Your pollen forecast is moderate for today and tomorrow. Moderate solar UV index as well. And tomorrow, dry with long spells of sunshine. Temperatures in the 20s tomorrow, 20 to 23 degrees. Warmest on the west coast in a moderate easterly breeze. And as I said a little earlier on, the rain you see today will be some of the last rain you might see for 9 or 10 days if you're sticking about here. Now, a caller says, I'm a season ticket holder who was in the Jerry Arthur stand if the season ticket holders weren't there. We were all jammed in with everyone else. Was the stand full of dignitaries? I travel all over the country for matches. The toilets in Ballybuffet are a disgrace and it's an embarrassment to bring visitors to our town. I know of people who tried to use the toilets in local businesses as they didn't want to use the ones in McCool Park. 15 years ago, I raised this with someone on the board and they told me they would be revamped, but they are not. They are a disgrace, says a listener there. By the sounds of it, there's a lot going on in that message, but they didn't experience the same sort of issues in terms of ticket holders being in with opposing fans. A caller says, rehousing. There needs to be less conversation about modular homes and more talk about permanent homes. It's just a distraction to the real problem. There needs to be less blame towards government because it appears the big problem in Donegal rests in Donegal with the council. There appears to be no push to have homes vacant in Donegal handed out again. There are about 6 new social housing developments in North and South Donegal not given out. Why? We need to learn to help ourselves. Stakeholders in Donegal need to help us locally to solve the issues. Yeah. I get where you're coming from, but I think really when people reference the modular homes, there are people now and they've probably got their planning permissions in for the defective concrete block rebuilds and what have you, and there's nowhere to rent. They're paying mortgages often still on the property that's no longer livable. They're going through a 9-month, 1-year building process and they can't get anywhere to rent. And the proposal was that there could be areas of modular housing that could be used for a time by families. They move into their new property and then they'd still be there for others. And it wasn't me that called for that. It was those involved in the campaign. But also we have seen modular homes used to alleviate pressure on housing in other parts of the country as well. So it doesn't have to be one or. I think just maybe with special circumstances in Donegal, many feel it would be nice if it was considered here. I mentioned Riverdance for you, by the way, because I think it's great value and well worth mentioning the price. It's on Thursday, the 28th of August, so it's some time away, but you know like that it's going to be the end of July and this will just be around the corner. The new generation, Riverdance 30, are coming to the Gaiety in Dublin. It's a limited anniversary tour. We've booked a block of tickets and we have the tickets, including overnight accommodation on a bed and breakfast basis. This at the Canal Hotel. It's a 4-star Grand Canal Hotel. Luxury coach travel, tickets to the show, free time in Dublin. So you just get in a coach, you brought there, that's it. Couldn't be any easier. And it's $249 per person sharing. So if you want to secure your place now, €100 gets you your position now, so you can then pay in for the rest whenever it suits you. Might be a nice present for someone who's celebrating a birthday around about that time or an anniversary or something. It's going to be a very, very special night. It's a big show. It's a big, big show. Give us a call if you want more info, 07491 25,000, or check out the website, highlandradio.com. I've just got quite a long communication here and I'm not sure if I'll get to it before the end of the show. I don't think I will, to be honest with you. A caller says, difficulty in getting an appointment with a GP. What's the point of going to the doctor knowing you won't be seen for 3 weeks when you can go straight to the Letterkenny ED and be attended to within only 2 days? Average wait time 8 hours. The government are having a laugh. It's not the government that produced those figures, but I do understand what you're saying. And look, I'm not sure if you're your tongue or in your cheek or not, but the reality is some people see it as a quicker way to get
more timely healthcare. It's not the way it should be, though. It's for your acute patients only, but I understand where you're coming from. Right, that's where we have to leave it on the show today. Hopefully a little later on I'm going to get a chance to chat to the new housing minister. He's up in Donegal visiting a affected DCB home, but also meeting with local authority members. That's a closed meeting, so we can't actually report on that, but we'll have reaction to it. So that'll all be tomorrow morning from 9. Have a fantastic day, everyone.